Good morning. How are you guys? Yeah, that's great.
Am I?
I just want to kind of bounce off of what we just said about Five Stones Church. Sean Clark, which is the pastor, I planted through an organization called ARC, Association of Related Churches. Went through their training process, and he's actually part of their lead team and was like in the leadership of the team that took us through the process. So it's fun. I get all these emails each week, especially during the fall, of churches that are planning. But it's fun to go like, man, I know this guy, and they're going to knock it out of the park. So super excited for them. But I want to kind of, as we begin to get into talking about what we're going to talk about today, I want to bridge talking about church planting and understanding, because today we're in verse 10 of chapter 6 of Matthew, talking about the Lord's Prayer, specifically about your kingdom come. And so this is just a freebie on the front end of that, is that God's kingdom comes through His church. And we are and forever will be grateful for the mission of people and of God that say, I want to bring the gospel to new communities, even when it's here. Like, we're going to cheer if they bring 1,000 church plants into the city, because we want people to experience the grace of God, because that's the kingdom being advanced. And so, like, as we talk about this topic today, I want you to understand that our heart and passion is for people and God's kingdom, not ours. Because as far as we lift up ours, we lift up an idol, and not the true kingdom that God is bringing. So I just want to throw that out for free. And I'm going to pray, and we're going to get right into the Word so we can have some time at the end of service to pray. So, dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for today. Lord, we thank You that You have given us another day, another week to do Your kingdom purpose. And, Lord, I pray that this morning's a tough topic, not by what it says, but, Lord, what it means. Lord, we're for Your kingdom, but, Lord, what that really means is we're for You doing what You desire and what You will in and through us and around us and in our community, even if it doesn't look like what we want. And so, Lord, I pray that today that You would allow us to lay down our agenda, that You would allow us to see how great it is to be a part of the perfection of what You're doing as You advance Your kingdom. So, Lord, I pray that we would easily, willingly lay down our things to Your good and to Your glory. And so, Lord, would You show us where we're not? Would You show us, Lord, areas in our life that we can be more intentional of seeing Your will and Your kingdom come? And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to go, if this is your first Sunday, I want to just give you a highlight of the last 2 weeks, and we've got another 3 weeks after this. We're doing the Lord's Prayer. I've never done this before. We've taught about prayer in at Reach, but I've never kind of talked about the Lord's Prayer. I grew up in a church that we, every Sunday, read the Lord's Prayer out together as a congregation, and didn't think a whole lot about it. And leading up to this series, I read through it, and like just something, it wouldn't get off of me. So I just felt like, man, this is what God wanted us to do. And so week one, we just started with the reality that God wants to hear us. Like, we serve a God that by design has created not only a means to, but a way for us to communicate with Him. And that He desires to hear us cry out to Him. He wants to respond on our behalf. And last week, which is really important because we're looking at the Lord's Prayer not as a pattern that we repeat over and over and over and again, meaning that's our prayer, that once we say the Lord's Prayer, which we are going to read in just a second, that we're done. But it's more of a pattern of how we connect to the Father. And so last week, we talked about our Father who art in heaven. And so this idea that not only are we having access to to God, but we get access to God through Him being our Father. and how important it is for us to begin our prayers acknowledging our connection to our Father. Because when it's our parent, we have access. Just like my kids have access to me, your kids have access to you in ways that no one else does. And we have the same access to God the Father through Jesus. And so this week we're going to hit into number two, and I'm going to start in Luke 11, 1. I believe it's going to be on the screen, just with this idea to further it. And we've talked about this the last 2 weeks. Sorry for the repetition, but repetition's the mother of memory. Is that the disciples who were following Jesus, who grew up in a culture where they were taught how to pray and how to do the things of the Jewish culture, were around Jesus, and they one day stopped him. They believe that Luke is actually before what we're going to read in Matthew 6, that Luke was where the disciples asked. And so in Luke 11, 1, it says, "Now Jesus was praying in a certain place." So they were praying. The disciples, you know, I'm sure were like, "We're not really good at that." Like, I know there's some people that are just like, they knock it out of the park. Like, you're a prayer, like, that's your thing. Like, you are amazing at it. But most of us, it's like, you know, not to throw Anna under the bus, but Anna, I will anyway, because it was previous. So Anna at our old church had a small group of girls that met together with the express intention to pray, and they entitled the group out loud, "Awkward Prayer." Just because, you know, when you're getting into this kind of habit and function of praying with people, there's this kind of, in the beginning, an awkwardness to it. And so, like, I always love that, you know, that they were diligent meeting with their awkward prayer group. And so the disciples were probably in the same way, just going, we get it. Like, we've been taught the what we should do, but we don't understand it. And so they ask, you know, "Teach us to pray as John the Baptist taught his disciples." And then we get in Matthew 6, which is part of the Sermon on the Mount, we get him telling the group that are there listening to him, and here's what he says. And I'm going to read through it all, and then we're going to hang in verse 10, and then we're going to intentionally keep it a little short today so that we can, again, have a little time at the end so that we can practice praying. So in verse 7 of chapter 6 of Matthew, it says, "And when you pray, do not heap empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they'll be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father in heaven knows what you need before you ask him." The beauty of today, the beauty of every time you decide to pray, God is already aware of what you really need before it comes out of your mouth. But there's a faith that comes when you begin to like vocalize and cry out to God, and God responds. And so one thing, actually, Greg and I talked about this before. If during this series, like, you just feel like, man, I've been praying and God did something through your prayer, I'd love to hear about it, to either talk about it, or, you know, I know it's maybe terrifying to come up here, so I could maybe relate your story if you didn't want to. But I'd love to hear your response as you kind of pray through these things of seeing God move. So if that happens, please let us know. You can do that either on our connection cards, or you can find me at or after service, before or after service. So in verse 9, it says, "Pray then like this." And this is last week's verse. "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." In verse 10, which we're going to do today, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debtors as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others your trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses." That's going to be a fun week. And so this week, I just want to talk about this reality that we talk kingdom. Like, if you've been around church, now I understand if you're not from a church background and, you know, kingdom, you're thinking about like the Legos kingdom. Like, you know, I had one of those castles growing up. Like, I get the kingdom. You may not understand kingdom. We're going to talk a little bit about it today. This is not going to be an exhaustive conversation about the kingdom, because, you know, you could literally spend months and months talking about the kingdom. But for us that have been in church, we we have this word or phrase that we may not really ultimately understand as we talk about what the kingdom is. So the kingdom is something that you've repeated probably many times if you have a church background. Maybe even you've prayed for it. And sometimes we don't even understand what we're saying or praying when it relates to your kingdom come. And this is a big statement. Like, this is a huge undertaking. And this last week, as I've been reading through, I've been digging, Spurgeon, which is this evangelist guy from the, 1700s, 1800s. He wrote down a lot of his sermons. So, I've got to read. It's funny him talking about his church and the people. It's very similar. You would think, 150 years ago, there wasn't some of the stuff that was going on. But it's interesting how, the issues never really change. It may get a little bit more convoluted because of technology and different things, but it's still the same root thing. And so today we want to look at, I'm going to actually break this into three different sections. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I want to start with your kingdom come. There's a book by Tony Campolo, which is entitled, Who Switched the Price Tags? And so the whole premise of the book is that he gave this example that, basically this group of people went into a department store and for fun, and at night when no one was there, and they just took tags and switched them all over the place. And the next day, it was just chaos because, things that were valuable, were lower price tags, and things that were not valuable were higher price tag, and it was just chaos. And he related that to this idea that, that's basically what's happened to the earth. Since the fall of Adam and Eve, Satan came in, and he switched all the things that were valuable, and he's put them on low price tags, and he's taken all these things that are worthless and putting high price tags on it so that we are confused about what we should elevate and what we shouldn't elevate and all these things, and it just confuses us as it relates to what the kingdom is. And so, first verse that we're going to look at with your kingdom come, in Matthew, and from the beginning of Jesus' ministry to the very end, he was specifically talking about the kingdom. Matthew 4:17, it says, From that time Jesus began to preach, saying, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And this is what we're working with. See, Adam and Eve were created in a perfect functioning kingdom. When they existed in the Garden of Eden, basically everybody was vegetarians. You know what I'm saying? The animals, there was peace and harmony when it talks about, in Revelation, it's talking about the lion and the lamb being together, the lion chewing on curd. It was just perfect. There was nothing broken in that kingdom. It was exactly what it should be. Now, okay. Anyway, not going to talk about eating meat right now. We're going to just keep it. We're going to keep it going. And so that when Adam and Eve fell, and that kingdom was blocked, the perfection was blocked, and they were cast in to where we exist now. Everything has been broken and misplaced and out of order. And Jesus came to the earth to begin to establish that. And see, what we're working with is Jesus, from the beginning of his ministry to the end of his ministry, talked about the kingdom that is coming. And there's this phrase in theology books that talks about the already but not yet. The kingdom is partially here, but it's not in its perfection like it will be when Jesus returns. And so our part and why God put it as number one was connecting and acknowledging our relationship with the Father in this prayer. The second, before we get to anything else, was us acknowledging that we want your kingdom to come. So what was before and what will be, it is our call in the middle to bring that to people, even in this broken world. Matthew 6:33, it says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Before that, they were talking about, you know, needs and clothing you and feeding you and all these worries about things. And he's like, look, if you'll seek the thing that will satisfy you, everything else will be taken care of. Everything else will put itself in line. But the danger in all of this is, now, maybe some of the guys in here do this. And think of, you know, you have a little kingdom at home. Like, this, I am the king of this house. I don't recommend saying that necessarily to your spouse unless she's, like, got a great sense of humor. That could get you in a lot of trouble. But, you know, we all have this idea that we have this is our, and we want to see our hopes and dreams come to be. And the problem with us as we submit to the kingdom of God is those things sometimes, a lot of times, wage war against each other. Where what you want and what God wants sometimes is completely different. Matthew 13:44. And I love these because it talks about, I think sometimes when we look at the kingdom, it's like, yeah, we're part of this thing. It's like almost like when I mentioned ARC, and some of you guys glazed over, like a planting organization, like, well, what is that even? Like, we don't even realize the value of what we're a part of. And Matthew 13:44 and 45 is Jesus talking in parable form about the kingdom. So the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure in a field, which a man found, covered it up, and then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys the field. In verse 45, it says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant who is searching for fine pearls, who, on finding one of great value, went and sold all that he had to buy it. In that, what they're talking about here is that when you discover what the kingdom is, everything that you have to give up to have it is no problem. Like, both of these people, I'm sure before they found the treasure and before they found the pearl, what they owned, they valued and would have been mad if someone took it from them. And I'm sure they were building their little kingdom and their little, you know, their property, and they had stuff. But when they found something of greater value, all the other stuff fades away. I think one of the things that helps us in our prayer life when we pray in this order, when we're connecting and we understand that He's our Father, and by that He designs and desires to hear from us, when we get the kingdom thing in order, our prayers turn. Like, when He's talking about praying His will, like when you pray in His name, like, Jesus is not going to shortchange His kingdom to give you something that you think that you need. Like, the reason He's responding to you is because it's working into the kingdom purpose for you. And as we can relate ourselves and put ourselves under His lordship and put ourselves in His kingdom, understanding that, then all the other things kind of fade away. Like, some of the unimportant things that, like, that drive our conscious thought, that keep us up at night, fade away when we understand what we are allowed to be a part of. Acts 1 verse 3 says, He presented Himself alive. So we talked about two times where Jesus is talking about kingdom, and there's a lot more than that in that. And then here in Acts is actually after the crucifixion, after the resurrection, right before He's getting ready to go. These are kind of final words, which, you know, in Jesus, where sometimes we don't know what our final words are going to be, and some of our final words are dumb. Jesus knew what His final words were being. He was very intentional of everything that He was saying to His disciples as He was preparing to leave. He said He presented Himself alive to them after His suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. Like, you could think, well, oh, so He came back and He was speaking about, you know, let's get this, guys, I know tithing's confusing. Let's get tithing figured out, or let's get, you know, service figured out, or let's get this other thing figured out, because He understood that if we can get our reason for being here, our purpose for being here fixed on what He's doing, then everything else works itself out. But it changes everything. To pray your kingdom come immediately takes your wants and desires and puts them secondary to God's kingdom. And like as we pray, and it's difficult. That's why we've got to connect and understand that God is so much bigger and smarter than we are. Like, I don't struggle with feeling like I'm too smart, ever. Maybe in some scenarios I feel like, you know, I'm around people that just don't know anything and I feel smart. But for the most part, I don't struggle with the reality like I'm confused that God may not know enough. Like, I don't struggle with that. I don't think, like, in my 40 years of wisdom, like, if he would have experienced life like I experienced life, you know, he would think differently. I'm not there. Like, I understand that what he is thinking and feeling is so much better than mine. And so if we can position ourselves under that, then it changes everything. So the second phrase that we're going to look at, not only his kingdom, but his will be done. Like, that's my favorite. I've got a couple. We're going to get into Luke 22, but I've got a couple quotes in here that I want to talk about. First one's from this guy named Robert Law. He said, "Prayer is a mighty instrument, not for getting men's will done in heaven, but for getting God's will done on earth." See, the great thing is one day heaven and earth are going to collide. Like, in my belief system, like, when he returns, like, he's going to make everything right here, on this place, on this earth, and we'll reign for 1,000 years, and they will be perfect, and then things will come to that. I mean, that's like deep end revelations. Like, I think it's crazy that after 1,000 years of literally having Jesus back on this earth, ruling and reigning, that there'll be a rebellion, and people will choose not Jesus. Crazy. So here's another one for Spurgeon that I read this week, and it says, "My brethren," it was 150 years ago, remember that, "I am afraid that Christ's will on earth is very much more discussed than done." That was deep. Like sometimes deep things just go over my head, so I'm going to read it again. Because I read this a couple of times, I'm like, there's something good in there, I just got to keep reading until I get it. He said, "Brethren, I am afraid that Christ's will on earth is much more discussed than done. Says, I've heard brethren spending days in disputing upon a precept which with their dispute was breaking. In heaven, they have no disputes, but they do the will of God without discord." Like, there's a point where action is necessary for us to walk in obedience. Like, there's some things that, you know, we need clarity on, and I understand, but what you do understand, we need to move in. Here's another one, and this one's from this guy named Calvin. It says, "But religion is in its highest purity and rigor when men believe that whatever proceeds from God is right and proper, full of righteousness and wisdom. For the consciousness is that they embrace his word with the obedience of faith and approve of all his ordinance and work." Like, as we begin to believe that not only is there a great and grand God that we serve, but like what he speaks to us is truth. And in that, we get to see God move in ways that our faith cannot understand without trusting in God himself. And just to understand that Jesus struggled with this reality of walking in obedience. Now, he was perfect. Don't get all caught up in that. But here's one line that I love that they left this in. I mean, if you were going to write the gospel, you could change a lot of things to make us sound a whole lot better. Jesus in Luke 22, verse 42 said, and this is him getting ready to go to the cross. This is him suffering in anguish for what he knows is coming. And this is his prayer talking to the Father. It says, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Talking about the crucifixion. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. So let me just tell you, walking in the kingdom and obedience to the king will not always be pleasant. Like our Savior that has given us access to God the Father has given us access to God the Father by his obedience to the Father. Because he understands that even though it was not glorious to think about what he was going to go through leading to the cross, understanding that in all of his humanity that he had experienced for 33 years, all of the weight of sin was going to crush down on him, and he willingly entered into that. It's not always going to be painless as we see God's will done here. And so here's the last one, on earth as it is in heaven. See, the kingdom was once here just as God intended and will return in its fullness. See, we're not hoping for something that might happen. We're hoping for something that was here and is going to be here again. See, until then, we pray, we speak, and we act in a way that brings kingdom awareness. See, I think one of the crucial parts is realizing that this is not our long-term home. I'm not just speaking of the middle school, which hopefully it's not. But this is not our long-term home, that our home is a part of the kingdom. Here Spurgeon said something similar to what we just mentioned. It says, Thou will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It says, it was so once. Those who desire to set up the kingdom of God are not instituting a new order of things. They are restoring, not reinventing. And that's what we're doing. That's what God has called us to do as a church, is to let His will be done here on earth. But He does His will through us. Like there's, I think it's in Romans that actually talks about like how are people going to hear the gospel unless it is preached? And how is it going to be preached unless people are taught to preach it? And how are there going to be people if they're not sent? Like that's why we're here. And the beauty of it is, and you may be sitting here going, okay, that's great, Heath, that is your job, God sent you here. No. Ephesians 4:5 has set that straight. That you can tell me, is it 4 or 5? 4 or 5, okay. It's in there, you'll see it. But it talks about the job of the pastor to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. And one of the ways that we do the work of the ministry is that we align ourselves under His rule and reign. I'm going to invite our worship team back up, and we're going to spend some time praying. And this is what I want today to look like. And I don't know if you noticed this, but I talked about this last week. There's, on the back of your notes, there's a little breakdown for a Prayer Warrior's Guide, but it actually goes through all the things that we're going to be talking about. And then I mentioned last week talking about the names of God and what that meant, and that they had an intention of praying for God to do certain things, and this was their response. Like God had done things, so they named, like, God is the provider. God is our righteousness, who sacrificed, our healer, our banner of victory, my shepherd, my peace. He is the one who is there. He's our provider. And so what I encourage you this morning is a reshuffling. And so, like, connect with the Father, like settle that today. But what I'd like to do for the majority of our time just praying is realigning the position of where the kingdom should be. It's like in our lives, most likely we talk about the kingdom of God, but we don't live under the kingdom of God. So what today could be is just a realigning of that, for asking for forgiveness, that I've made what I desire and what I want more important than your kingdom. And I believe that God wants to speak to us in this room this morning of what it looks like for you to live in this place of waking up and existing in a place that we want God's will, we want God's kingdom, just like it is in its perfection right now in heaven, here. Because the more we live there, the more what we live in is enticing to other people. The more we exist under the kingdom, the more God's people that are out there that don't know Him yet get to see and taste and experience who God is. And so I'm going to pray for us. We're going to spend a little time where it's just, they're going to strum in the background, and then we're going to go into our last worship song. And I just encourage you to pray, like cry out. And at the end of that, or in the middle of the song, we'll have some of our prayer people here. If there's things that are going on in your life that aren't necessarily related to what we're talking about today, and you just need someone to agree with you and stand with you in prayer, this is the place. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you lovingly allow us to reset things. And so, Lord, as we've looked at our life for what we desire and what we want, Lord, I pray that those would be secondary to what you want and desire. And so, Lord, we just pray that your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, in our homes, Lord, in our relationships, in our workplace, Lord, in this county, in this school, Lord, in Snipes Academy, Lord, we just pray that your kingdom come. Your will be done now. Lord, so show us what is our part that you've called us to play in that, and help us be obedient. Help us be like the Father that believed that Jesus would heal his son, but he said, yes, I believe, but help me in my unbelief. Lord, I pray that today that you would, even as we want and desire to believe your kingdom come, your will be done, Lord, I pray that you help us with our unbelief of really putting that in the position that it should be. So, Lord, we thank you for your grace and mercy for us. And, Lord, I just pray that you would speak to us in the next few minutes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.